Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. The gorgeous weather has hit here, and it's going to warm quite something over the next couple of days. But hey, I'm welcoming it.
Not insanely hot.
No.
But finally time to go down to the beach.
Oh, yeah. I used to hang out on the beach in the summer months, and it was called working on your tan, wasn't it?
You know, I've never been a beach person. After half an hour, I just feel like this is a waste of time to get up and explore or do something.
And then a friend of mine introduced me to whitewater canoeing.
Ah.
And then that was the end of beach time. I just went to... Well, our group went canoeing frequently, you know, a schedule, and then if the water over on the Seymour was the right level, we'd head over there, too, so lots of fun.
Usually we kick off a show with listener questions, but I guess everybody is on holiday for July 1st and July 4th, but my question is, Bob, is Canada in a recession? I noticed the latest jobs report. Canada lost 1,400 jobs in June. The U.S. gained over 200,000.
Yeah.
Are we actually in recession, but just not officially in one?
I think so. They just haven't declared it yet. And also in the U.S., I got another headline with some price series plunging. So these are happening. And so my guess, Jim... And for our audience, is that by, say, January, most will realize that the U.S. is in a recession. You have some inevitability out there, and while COVID sort of pushed things around hugely, you still got the business cycle, and you have the interest short rates going up, and that's part of the business boom, and the really tricky part, Jim, is when the short rates, and I'm talking about T-bill rates, mm-hmm. when they come down, it says that the boom is over. And we're getting all kinds of headlines, I collect them, saying that the Fed is soon going to cut and that'll be great. But I like to point out that the Fed follows the changes in market rates of interest as determined, shown in T-bill rates. And they had a high yield of a couple of months ago. And while down a little, it's not yet a downtrend in short rates. And my guess is that the downtrend, maybe could be set by the end of, the end of August, and then we'll see what's happening. But the Fed, like in 1929, the T-bill rate with the party went up to little over 5% in that May and June. And by the time you got to the end of August, they were down quite a bit. But then you had people coming back from Labor Day, buying the stock market, and that set the high. And then it went down, and then the Fed didn't cut its administered rate until the end of October, whereas the market turned, set its high, or the 3-month bill set its high in June. So that's the way it kind of works here, that they, as I say, were collecting headlines that say when interest rates go down, all will be well, and that is pure intuition. If they looked at the history, every time short rates go down, it's part of the contraction. And my colleague Ross put together a chart a month or so ago showing at a time when the T-bill rate was really dropping fast, and so was the S&P at the same time. So it's not only do rates go down, the stock market goes down. And when the rates plunge, the stock market plunges. And that is quite different about what the pundits are out there saying in Wall Street now. So we'll watch this one, Jim. Yeah.
I guess, Bob, they're all so young. Of course, they're robots anyway on Wall Street. they don't understand. Now, research from Tim Cyclesman Wood, friend of the show, frequent guest, indicated our inflation wasn't caused by a money oversupply, but by shipping chain problems, supply chain problems. And if that's the case, we're going to see more inflation because of fear of Houthi missile attacks. They can't use the Suez Canal, and ships are now going around the Cape of Africa, around the Horn, and there's a shortage of shipping containers. If not enough shipping, that means all the things that you get from overseas are going to cost more.
Yeah, that is an issue, all right. But I think the onset of the recession will bring most prices down everywhere. And you take a look at the latest one to rally was copper, mm-hmm. and it's been running out of steam lately. And then you had the really bizarre one with cocoa.
Yeah.
Oh, straight up and then straight down. So a large part of the price drive has been very motivated speculators. And in a tough market, they kind of have a tendency to disappear. So I'm staying with the theme that the dollar, U.S. dollar, will remain firm. The commodity index will soon roll over, and then the stock market thing. So all should be weaker and discovered after late September. So yeah, there's a certain seasonality to it. Yeah. Oh, let's amplify that one. There have been five previous great financial bubbles, and I follow them in the world's financial center. It used to be London, and the pound sterling was the senior currency, and then, sort of since the 1930s, has been the U.S. dollar, and New York is the senior currency and the financial center. So you got a pattern there that, as they occurred in London, four out of the five bubbles completed in May. And one, the South Sea bubble, it completed in June. So this may be behind the old saying about sell in May and go away. Now, of course, this seasonality of a probable high in May or into June is there a lot of the time. But if the stock market doesn't get overbought as it rises through May, then the trend will likely continue one way or the other. The uptrend will likely continue. But then we have had our technical tools, you know, at excesses on the way up, genuine, serious, exceptional, big excesses on the way up because the speculation was so strong. So if you have the market up when you expected, yep, and then showing tremendous technical power, yep, you're talking about a top. So then you want to, again, look at history and see how that happens after these huge bubbles completed in May. They dithered around through the summer, and then all of them began to weaken in September, and they all crashed in the fall, and with a nasty October, And then the market was tested in maybe the middle of November, and then that financial storm was over. One exception, 1825 bubble, the liquidity storm continued right into the first week in January. So, yeah. So that any bubble is going to get hit with a liquidity crisis. And the bubble has been fantastic. So what we're calling for now is dithering around through August and then finding a problem maybe towards late September.
We'll take a look at the headlines that caught Bob's eye when we return.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye. This one, fearing losses, banks are dumping real estate loans.
Yeah, there they are. They're seeing the risk to their own balance sheet, and they're getting rid of real estate loans. And in this, you know, that one headline, yeah. Hmm.
Well, we take a look at all those office towers that are empty in Canada and the U.S. Some have that cost $250 million are selling for $2 to $3
million. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're clearance prices. But some of these buildings or office buildings, well, they could remain empty for years, absolute years. Because in the big boom in 1928, or, well, the boom completed in 1929, and I can't remember whether it was 28 or 29, when the Chicago Showmart building was completed, and that, when it was built, I think it was one of the biggest buildings ever. Now, what with Chicago being where it is, located on the Great Lake, and then rails and everything else, so it was really the key middling point for all kinds of commerce and trade. And so many businesses there were, you know, bringing stuff in by the carload and then breaking it into smaller pieces and sending out. So anyway, so they built this huge Showmart building to handle all of this activity, and it stayed empty until, well, I think it was in the mid-50s when the founding father, Joseph Kennedy, bought it, but I don't think he started making a return on it until the late 50s. You know, don't quote me on the years, but that was the sort of thing you're looking at. And again, the stock market, same thing. The high price was reached in 1929. It took to 1987 to break even. That's a long time, so...
Headline, growth scare grows as shipments plunge.
Yeah, so I
we touched on that, didn't we?
Some guy, sometimes they can craft some headlines, but they're concerned about growth, and it's getting scary because shipments are plunging. And the key thing there, plunge, and that word I'm finding in a number of headlines over the last month or so. So yeah,
but there's an old saying in newsrooms: if we're not scaring you, we're not doing our jobs.
Because
I've noticed watching some television newscasts, everything is shocking, stunning, and I'm going, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a dog running away is not shocking.
Yeah.
Headline: foreign investors are gorging on long-dated U.S. treasuries. What does that mean, Bob?
Well, they're buying the long bond. And a couple of years ago in that huge bond rally, the key central banks, you know, the senior central banks were buying it like mad. And then came the price hit, and they took some huge losses, and I don't think they're out of their long positions yet. So the long end of the treasury market is highly risky because there's too many people, big people, in it. And obviously this includes little people as well. So, yeah, foreign investors gorging on long-dated treasuries. You're right. Okay, sure.
Headline, Chinese factory shutdowns, workers disappearing at an alarming rate. Are they just not showing up for work and they have to shut down the factory?
No, I took it as they're shutting down and the workers then go back to the country or somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg says AI competitors think they are creating God.
Isn't that a good one? AI, artificial intelligence, until lately when it's taken on a tremendous cachet. For years ago, I used to write that artificial intelligence was when you took somebody with a PhD in interventionist economics and put them as head of the Fed, and then they became a genius. And that is an example of artificial intelligence. But now it's a very interesting concept out there. But I think all the stories are in the market. The excitement has been done. And further on, it is unlikely. It's been a terrific market item. And maybe over, yeah.
Well, there's a headline here. Echoes of dot-com bubble haunt AI-driven U.S. stock market. Everybody thought if you put a dot... Yes, back in 2000.
Compares to the dot-com mania in 2000. And you can take any company, change the name, put dot-com in it, and away you went. Yeah.
I remember a couple of high school kids selling a website for 15 grand to Telus. I mean, 15 million.
And I'm going... And registered it.
Yeah.
Whoa,
being able to make a website. Woo.
Yeah.
And now it's cut and paste and costs next to nothing.
Yeah.
I do know how to make them for real, though.
Okay.
And I found it boring. Being a code monkey is not my job.
No.
I prefer to talk about code monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, real estate fund industry is bleeding billions after Starwood capped withdrawals. So another real estate firm saying,
No, we can't pay you now. It's like the old 1930s bank run, where you would then the newspaper would have a picture of maybe hundreds of depositors standing outside the door of the bank, and then they closed the door because they had no more reserves in which to pay the depositors who wanted their money back.
And a follow-up headline to that. Foreign investors left stranded in Evergrande web of Chinese debt.
Oh, yeah. I had to put in the headline about Evergrande because that was the first big Chinese one that started making headlines. And, gosh, how long have we been following it? Maybe a year?
2 years
Evergrande?
Now. 2 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. And my friend Cam McMurtry in Hong Kong. Sending me videos of those large vacant cities now being imploded. And they're going to start all over again.
You mean like they're not
high-rises.
Down the empty buildings?
Yep, they're all being imploded.
Oh, my God.
Because they didn't put in windows. They didn't finish them. They weren't weatherproof.
All right, so then they've deteriorated.
Yep. Wind and rain and snow and ice.
Yeah.
Once water gets in and starts rusting out your electronics, your building's useless.
Yeah. Right, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, well, it was an interesting set of headlines this week, yep.
Rating agency S&P sends debt warning to U.S., France, and other top economies.
Oh, yeah. No. These, a credit rating agency I have the highest regard for, and they're very serious when they come out and say that their top AAA rating or AA plus or whatever designation they use for a country is threatening. What they're trying to do is to tell the bureaucrats and the politicians, hey, you can't do what you're doing anymore, otherwise you're in deep trouble. So, yeah.
And our final headline, Hillary Swinton swoons over wise and decent Biden.
Isn't that amazing? You know, just because she's allowing various ambitious groups like the Democrats to destroy the U.S. political system and destroy the economy, Clinton, Hillary, says that this is wonderful and that therefore Biden is a wise and decent man. He's the most crooked politician in American history. So.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, sometimes Grandpa's a great guy, but it's time to take the car keys away.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's sad but true.
Yeah, it's that's the case, you know.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, I enjoyed this one today. We've had a nice time on a gorgeous weather day, so I look forward to see what everything brings us for next week.
Hope everybody had a great July 1st and 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah, being right on the border, I get to enjoy both holidays.
Oh, yeah, you gotta enjoy both of them for sure.
That's when you realize how close Canada and the U.S. are, really. And
there is more in common north-south across our borders, like west coast people, prairie people, and then easterners. And there's more in common north and south with each of those, let's call them cultural zones, than there is across the country.
I had some friends from L.A. who drove to Vancouver, and they were shocked that they had to go through customs and immigration at the border. We didn't know Vancouver was in Canada. They were actors. I don't know, actors. Charisse Theron, when she was shooting reindeer games in Vancouver, was stunned. Why do they insist on Canadian money here? What's going on?
Yeah.
It's like she didn't know. Vancouver's actually in a different country. They just think I-5 just keeps going straight up there, so yeah, it's part of the whole same deal. And frankly, our relatives in Seattle, we would travel back and forth more often if we didn't have to go through that border fuss.
Yeah, and as it happens, you're going to move at the be driving at the proper time, and then instead of like at 7 in the morning when the border crossing is 5 minutes, you'll go at a time when it's an hour. There's a market for that, I'm sure.
Have a great weekend, Bob.
You too. And as I say, looking forward to next week.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.